Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to the Half Hour Fantasy Podcast. This is the second of our FPL chat. So what we mentioned before is we're going to be discussing things that are fantasy that are not the Scottish game. So like going forward, we'll have every so often FPL chat. European Fantasy League starts shortly, so we can cover a bit of that on these podcasts in every couple of weeks. And when the World Cup starts down that line, we're doing that as well. Just to keep it completely separate from the Scottish game. So if anybody's listening, it's just totally for the Scottish game. They know what podcast to go for. If you listen, loving the sound of our voices and our amazing ranks and all these different games we play, they can listen to this and this instead. So what I'll do is first of all, is go to the league and go to our top three. So number three is by very self. Half Hour Fantasy Podcast, Peter, with 403 overall. Second is Mingus 11, Charles Mingus, 408 overall. And still number one is FTOFFC, Fraser McLachlan overall. So let's go to our game week points and rank. And I'll start with yourself, Tom.
So my overall rank is about 2.8 million. My points for this week was 44. Just one underneath the average, so not too good. I had Sanchez in goals for 1 point. Trent got me 1 point. Walker got me two. Gabriel got me one. Cucurella got me one. In midfield, Diaz got me three. Martinelli two. And Gross five. Then up front, Captain Haaland got me 18. Jesus got me one. And Kane got me nine. I had 4 points on the bench for Neco Williams. I've had quite a few points on the bench this season between him and Andreas and De Silva, so nothing new there.
Hey, yourself, Donny, game week rank and overall and points.
Okay, so my score this week was 52, so not bad in a relatively low scoring week. So I've got Ederson in goals for 2, Trent for 1, Trippier 8, Cancelo 2, Diaz 3, Harrison 1, Gross 5, Martinelli 2. And the same three as Tom, Haaland captain 18, Jesus 1, Kane 9. So 52 points. Overall, 391, and my rank is 440k. So not too bad.
Is that a green arrow this week then, Donny? Yeah?
Yeah, green arrow. So making the right moves.
Right, so myself had 48 points this week. I had Meslier in goals for 1, Perisic 1, Estupiñán 1, Cancelo 2, Trent 1, midfield, Martinelli 2, Harrison 1, Diaz 3, up front, Haaland, captain 18, Jesus 1, and probably my hero of the week was Tony, 17 points. And like Tom, I had Patterson sitting fourth on the bench for 6 points, but obviously with a fixture, I had no intention of playing him in that game. That gives me an overall rank. It was a rise this week to 163k overall. So, again, it's going the right direction. So, what we're going to do is we're going to discuss a couple of things that we've noticed the last couple of weeks. We've now had 6 game weeks in, so we can kind of discuss what we think now in certain aspects. So first of all, the big burning point everybody's talking about, Salah, and just over cover that Salah and Liverpool's form, and how do you think? Seen a lot of wild cards going this week. We know Salah now, and Liverpool have started the season off pretty slow. I'll give you my 2 cents first. I think Liverpool look like a team, the squad looks stretched. For years before, I looked at the squad and I say, look, the strength and depth, the money and stuff like this, but in this seat now, I just feel like they don't really have that strength and depth. I personally have only got one Liverpool player, is that right? Trent, right now. And as we'll discuss another point moving forward, I think I'll be getting rid of him too. So what's your thoughts on Salah and Liverpool overall, Donny?
Okay, so I started the season with Salah. I tried to remain patient right up until the 9-0 game, and then that was enough for me. As a Rangers fan, it's great that Liverpool are not clicking. You know, we might just get them in enough time that we can take some points off them in Champions League, but I'm not too confident of that. But yeah, they're misfiring for a team with as much talent as that. They just don't seem to be clicking. And we say that about a lot of Scottish teams. But I've got Trent and I've got Diaz. Again, neither of them are doing anything. I would probably hold on Trent just to see how it pans out. But they don't have great fixtures coming up. I think three out of their next four are maybe not so good. But Diaz, I could come off. Midfield does offer value. There's probably enough in there. But if anyone's still on him, then they're a lot more loyal than I was. Because he's just offering nothing, and that's reflecting in the way Liverpool are playing. They're just not good at all.
So I've got myself. I've also got Diaz two players. I've got that's what I've got. Right, Tom, what's
your thoughts? You forgot? Not that bad. You forgot?
No, he had a good week a couple weeks ago, didn't he? But Diaz, we've done pretty well. But since then, he's pretty quiet. What do you think? What's your thoughts, Tom? The whole Salah situation and Liverpool as a whole.
I ended up getting rid of Salah as well. I had two transfers in the bank. This week or last week, I can't quite remember now. So I ended up downgrading Salah to Diaz, so I still had some exposure to Liverpool, and I used the money to... What did I use the money for? I used the money to get Gross in.
Yeah.
I think... I can't remember now. I did something with it. I think I just banked it because I'm sitting with over 4 million in the bank, so I must have just banked it.
There you go.
In terms of Liverpool, they've tried to change things up by bringing in Darwin. I think even now that Darwin's back in the squad, I don't think it's going to have that much of an impact on Salah because he's probably going to stay out wide as he was when Darwin was on the pitch. So I think all of Salah's stats are down apart from chances created, but you're not going to end up getting his usual haul just on the back of assists. He needs to get goals, and that's not happened. Plus, at 13 million, he's taken up a big, big chunk of budget, so he really needs to perform and perform quite well. Another aspect is the performances of Haaland as well. Two hat-tricks on the bounce means a lot of people probably aren't going to be captaining Salah, so by not owning him, you're probably not going to be punished too badly if he does well, because the vast majority of people, I imagine, now going forward will be captain Haaland. I think he's now overtaken Jesus for ownership. I think he's 79% round about there. So people are going to be scared, and that's, I think people are going to stick with the Haaland captain for the short term anyway. So I don't think having Salah is offering a lot of benefits at the minute.
Just on that as well, obviously, can Salah with his price point, if you're not going to captain him, what is there really a point in having him? Who would you, in hindsight, have in instead, midfielder? De Bruyne? Anybody else, Tom?
As like a premium midfielder?
Yeah,
like
if you're a budget kind of guy?
If
you're starting over again, but you can't see the stats and all that, who would you want to be sitting there in Salah's place now, like? And you'd also kind of cap, because Son's not hurt any form either, so Son's out of the situation. De Bruyne's one I'd aim to go for eventually, but then he's been benched every so often as well, so it's kind of a weird one this year.
Yeah, it's very strange. I don't think anybody stands out. Son's been underperforming. KDB, he's not offered that much, considering his price tag as well. He's probably the one that you would go for if you had to. You twisted my arm and I had to go for one of them. Sterling might not be a bad option, but now he's
just about to say, mm-hmm. I was just about to say, Sterling would have been my shout, but maybe not as a captaincy choice, but definitely as somebody you will get returns probably more consistently.
Yep, Sterling.
But even when he played out wide, I mean, obviously Aubameyang, he's not going to play down the middle. I imagine that would probably be Aubameyang. But even when Sterling was at City, he was still getting lots of returns out on the out wide, so he could be a decent option. So, but that's we've got to see what happens there. We've not seen anything with Aubameyang in the Chelsea squad, so we need to see how things go first.
Any players to add to that discussion, Donny, or is it still in the one that stands out for you?
No, I mean, I've got premium forwards, so I don't really have much space in the midfield. We're going to talk about Man United, so we can cover off that, but De Bruyne is the obvious standout, but again, with limited game time, you're at a risk there as well. Arsenal are in good season, but again, there's no standouts that you would hang your hat on. I think best just to keep it on Haaland for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, well, you mentioned this, so let's move on to Man United. My other alternative would have been eventually maybe Fernandes, but he's been quite quiet and all. He looks okay, but he's not been point hauling. So Man United have actually turned around their fixtures after a kind of really dodgy start of the season. So I'm assuming, like myself, you're both thinking about Man United assets to come in at some point. So who would you go for and why? We'll start with you, Donny.
I think I've wrote down two players here. I think Dalot's a good option at the back. Pretty much risk-free at his price point. You can get to him probably from any of the current defenders that you have in your team. He did, if I'm not mistaken, get attacking returns in their previous game. So I think that's quite a risk-free option. Rashford was my other player. I started the game with Rashford in my midfield. I thought they could start the season strong and he would be a key player for them. It didn't turn out to be the case, so I changed him out quite quickly. But in their most recent game against Arsenal, he showed the typical player that he is, making runs into the box and creating goal-scoring opportunities. So for me, that would be the first place that I look when I'm talking about my transfers this week. I think the fixtures that they've got are pretty generous up until the international break. So that's probably going to be the first one. And as I say, if you're wanting into the defence, Dalot is an option.
Yeah, that's exact two names I had.
Tom, yourself? Yeah, that's what I was going to say as well. Rashford, I mean, if you're selling Salah and you've got all these funds sitting about Rashford at 6.5, you've got money in the bank, it's not a big risk. You can quite easily bench him at 6.5. If you're going to spread the funds amongst the midfield, you're maybe going to be sitting like Rashford, Gross, Rodrigo, if he manages to come back, players like that. So it's not a big loss if you were wanting to gamble, particularly if he's playing up front and down the middle. Darlow as well, obviously got assist potential there, so they could be a decent option. If you were to wild card this week, Man United's fixture run isn't too bad. Other than Man City away, you could perhaps argue Chelsea away, but much like the Scottish League, clean sheets don't seem to be assured from many teams this season, so he could potentially even score in these fixtures the way things are going just now. So those would be the two I would look at as well.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra.
Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Okay, which brings me on to another point you just mentioned as well, was the defenders at the back. Big at the back. Everybody started the season off. I didn't really go the full five myself, but all the templates you've seen online, all the kind of people who were like content providers, were giving all big at the back, big at the back. But it hasn't really worked out at all. Is it, apart from the odd haul here and there for certain players, like James went nuts one meeting at opposite Trent. But what's your thoughts, big at the back? You went away from it. Do you still think it can come through? I know, Tom, I believe you said you weren't a big fan of it. Do you still think it's go elsewhere?
I wasn't a big fan of it at the start of the season. I think I started with Haaland, Jesus and Kane up front, so that's where I kind of put my money. I'm probably my cheapest area was the midfield because I had Salah and it was just Martinelli was probably the second best player after that, and he's only 6.5. So that's how I kind of spread my funds about. I think it's at present it's even big at the back's probably even less relevant because the clean sheets aren't being made, and then even looking at your premium defenders like Cancelo, they're not really in amongst the goals or assists. Neither's Trent, Robertson. Well, Tsimikas started the other game. Maybe it should be a rest, but this early on in the season, I don't know. So the big ones at the back aren't really offering a lot. Chelsea seem a bit disjointed too. So James is all right, but he's also injury prone, and we've seen that already. He's already missed a game. He missed a lot last season. Chilwell might be an emerging option, so that's something to look at, but I don't think that's where you want to be focusing all your funds.
Plus, you can also get Fofana to cover your Chelsea coverage at 4.4 right now as it stands. Just going forward. What are your thoughts, big at the back, Donny? Are you sticking with it or getting away from it?
A bit of both, to be honest. I mean, I've got double Man City defence, and whilst it's paid out a couple of game weeks, as soon as they concede a goal, I'm cornered. So that's one thing that I'm looking to come off. I would still try and stay with the top six teams, but maybe look at the cheapest option within each of those and maybe try and go down that route. We've talked about Dalot at Man United as an option. I've got Trippier. I don't think if either of you two got him.
He's planned in this week for me. I had him at the start of the season.
He is... a bonus points magnet. He's clutched for me in the last couple of weeks. Whilst Newcastle are hit and miss on the pitch, he is quite a reliable defender in that respect. So he's a hold for me. Trent, I would probably keep. But the likes of Cancelo, Ederson, they're too straight away that flag up. I mean, I was even thinking about going De Gea in goals just to give me a route out of that double, so I'll just have to wait and see. But you still want to try and stick with the top teams because it's so hard to find clean sheets elsewhere, but maybe just the cheapest option, so the cheapest Man City defender that's getting game time, the cheapest Chelsea defender, and so on, rather than the ones that maybe get you the points. So that's what I'd be trying to target. Try to hold off wildcarding. I'll manage to do it this week, and then we'll see where we are after that. But yeah, defensively it's just hit and miss at the moment.
Plus there's been good options. You mentioned Trippier. Perisic's a good option as well.
Yeah,
he can haul goes nuts. I mean, I've liked to look at Brighton and Brentford so far defensively. I know we've had a couple of games where they've kind of conceded, but I mean, there's good alternatives there and all. You can spend the money elsewhere. Fofana at Chelsea's coming, I'm sure he's going to be in every wildcard team, but so when that kicks in he's going to start rising because he's going to be pretty much guaranteed in that defence. But Trent's the one I kept all last season with Cancelo. Cancelo seems to play a bit more reserved this week, inverted, but more like, I know he's not on the same planet, but like Taylor type thing where he's offering up, but he's coming to midfield more often and he's not pushing up Then he occasionally goes to the wing and he looks dangerous, but it's not as dangerous as he was last season. And that's a lot of money for him as well. And I'm not keeping the clean sheets. So it's just going forward, I'm maybe taking one out at a time and see who's the most in form. Do you have anything to add, Tom?
Just in terms of, you're talking about Trippi, I think Pope might be a good option for goalkeeper as well, just because Newcastle's fixtures are pretty good up until the World Cup wild card. They've kept three clean sheets so far, and they do concede quite a lot of shots, which is good for goalkeepers, because if he's not getting you clean sheet points, he's perhaps going to get you some save points. And if there's a few 1-0s or 0-0s, you might be in with the bonus as well.
Well, he's a really good keeper at that.
Yeah.
Anything else to add, any Tom time stuff? Not this week? Nah. You should have used it last week when we had it. Anything to add to the goalkeeper talk? Dory, anything else to add FPL-wise?
Just that, you know, the general consensus is that come the international break, we're all going to wild card. So that's only two games away. So if you're happy enough with your team and you just want to make one change every week, you've only really got two more game weeks until you can rip it up and start again. If you're really, really, really struggling, then just do it now. Try and get a jump on everyone else would be my shout. But it's just trying to find the value. I've got a few, like so Gross I've had for a few weeks now, Martinelli who had a goal chopped off, Trippier, you know, my three forwards. I swapped out Tony to get to Kane, which, okay, this week would have given me a haul, but Kane's had good returns in the last couple of weeks. Jesus has dropped off for him. It's just the way Arsenal play. They can go in hot and cold streaks, but I'm still happy to stick with him. So I don't need to wildcard immediately. If I can hang on this week, see where we are, and then wildcard will come into play either game week 8 or when the international break kicks in. So that was all I had to add.
Are you the same, Tom? You well carded on the national break?
I'm not too sure. I kind of want to see how things go this weekend, because obviously there's been a few players brought in the transfer window. But at the same time, there's a nice little run of plum fixtures, like Newcastle this weekend. They'll have West Ham, then Bournemouth, then Fulham, then Brentford. You've got Man United, Spurs, Chelsea and Leicester after that between game week 11 and then the international break. So you kind of want to get on these guys now. I quite like Zaha at Palace. They've got the best run of fixtures between now and the World Cup too. So Zaha's an interesting option. And also, I don't think we've mentioned Mitrovic yet. He's had a return in every fixture so far. So Fulham arguably, they could probably score against Chelsea this weekend, but after that, they've got a really good run up until the World Cup too. So I probably want to get on Mitrovic pretty soon. I'm perhaps maybe thinking after the weekend, maybe pulling the trigger on the wild card. I don't want to hang about too long. Try and get a leg up on my opponents.
I've seen a lot of wildcard people discussing that it was either Tony or Mitrovic. That seems one of the burning questions. I mean, that's the Abdi's going to have Haaland, I'm assuming, and then it's two others, and a lot of them have went kept with Jesus or one other. Isaac was in there for Newcastle as well, if he hits the ground running, because he's got a big differential. But I'm on Tony right now, but I think at some point the fixtures will swing and I'll move to Mitro, whatever else is going to do. It's just try, as you said, Don, you're trying to steal a match, you're ranked pretty low, so you're trying to jump up quicker than anybody else, I suppose. So
yeah,
if you're there. Is there anything else to add before we wrap this up?
Just as the same as what we talk about in Scotland, you've got two rounds of Champions League fixtures in between all of these games. Again, rotation, game time, all of those things will need to be considered. So having those extra 2 weeks when you do want to play your wild card, you're just going to get more information. So we'll just have to see how that one pans out as well.
Okay. So that was our second wee FPL chat. So guys, if you liked it, you can let us know on Twitter. And we're back next week with the Scottish podcast night, I believe. So thanks for listening. Say goodbye, Donny.
Bye.
Tom, say goodbye.
Bye-bye.
And we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.